Good to see everyone. Our speaker this morning here at the church is Daryl. He comes this morning. Good to have him. He told us that Karen's sick this morning. Keep Karen in your prayers. Good to have our visitors. It's good to have anyone's here, everyone that comes. This morning we'll be doing 247 in your song book.
I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. I want to bring the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. A soul winner for Jesus. A soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me be each day.
Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together as your Lord's church to worship you. May the things we do here this morning be well pleasing in your sight. We ask you to be with all those who are sick and afflicted, as less fortunate we are. So many of our number have been sick. Be with them, comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Dear Lord, help us be better Christians, better examples. Dear Lord, give us guidance in our lives. Help us through our daily journey here on earth. Help us be a people that would be well pleased in your sight. We ask you to be with our sister congregations. Help us all always to love and support one another. Help us be better Christians, better examples. Dear Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Scripture reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 12. In the Pew Bible, that's on page 496. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 19 through 23. On Pew Bible, that is page 496. But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house. And they required of him, set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and did eat. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be generous with me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, therefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Brother Tom?
After this song, we'll turn over to Daryl. Anywhere is home.
Earthly wealth and fame may never come to me, and the powerless there here mine may never be. But let come what may, in Christ for me doth care. Anywhere is
Well, good morning to you all. Glad to be here with you again. As was mentioned, my wife isn't feeling well, so she wasn't able to be here this morning. To those that are watching on the digital network, we welcome you to our services here at the New Lexington Church of Christ as well. We would ask and pray that any time that you might be in the area, that you try to take the time to come and worship with us. If you're not in the area, we're still glad to have you here viewing us through this network. I have a little something I came across this week that I want to read. It's a statement by a gentleman by the name of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher from the mid-1800s in London. He made a sermon, a statement concerning preachers and what they should be preaching. And as you continue to search for a full-time minister, keep this in mind. Sermons should have real teaching in them, and their doctrine should be solid, substantial, and abundant. Preachers are not to enter the pulpit to talk for talk's sake. We are to have instructions to convey important to the last degree. And we cannot afford to utter petty nothings. Our range of subject is all but boundless. And we cannot, therefore, be excused if our discourses are threadbare and devoid of substance. I could go on. This thing can be rather lengthy. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole thing. But it's very important that whoever is up here preaching, and we could also say whoever's teaching a Bible class, they're just not talking up here talking to hear themselves talk. If they are, they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be preaching. They shouldn't be teaching the Bible class. Because it's supposed to be coming from the heart, connected to God's word, and solid in what they say. So along with those thoughts, I want to ask you, who will you walk with and where? As you walk through this life, who do you walk with and where? Have you ever gone for a walk with your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, your mother, or your father? Now, let's be known in that picture, you know one of those two individuals. You know the big person on the right, that's me. The little fellow on the left is my grandson, Connor. And we have been out turkey hunting. And no, I'm not forcing him to carry those. He would not allow me to carry the turkey decoys back to the truck. Connor was probably about 8 to 10 at that time. His father, Scott, snuck back to take that picture. That picture and that walk with him means a lot to me. I couldn't even hardly walk at that time. I was waiting to have knee surgery on my left knee. I'm out there walking because I've taken two or three Tylenol, two or three extra strength Bayer, and who knows whatever else before we ever got out of the truck to walk a quarter of a mile back to the place where we hunted and then turn around and walk back out. That walk means a lot. And I wonder if David thought about that from the scripture reading that we had earlier, where his son has died. David's not able to walk with that boy. He's not ever able to take him and put him on a donkey or a horse or whatever the king had. He wasn't able to take him out and or take him anywhere to go grab something to say, come up here with dad and sit on my lap while we're having supper. I wonder what went through David's mind. But what about you? You no doubt have thought in this short period of time we've been talking here about someone that you've walked with. Maybe they're not even alive anymore. Maybe they've gone on to meet their maker. There's a few people I want you to think about this morning. The first one is Enoch. Fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, chapters 23 through 23, or verses 23 and 24 of Genesis 5. It says, after Enoch begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Now that walk is not just meaning followed, although that is part of the meaning there, and it's also time with. Spending time with him. Talking with him. And yes, that was a day and point in time where mankind occasionally would talk with God. God would talk with man. And Enoch walked with God for 300 years after he begat Methuselah. And he had more sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365, and Enoch walked with God. Can you imagine that, being able to walk with God? To talk with him? Do you? One of my favorite movies is Fiddler on the Roof, and the lead character, and I've mentioned him before, Topio, I believe his name is. Forgive me if I get that wrong. But one morning he's out delivering the milk. He's got his horse and the cart that he pulls along, because the movie is based in the early 1900s in Russia. And all of a sudden his horse goes lame. And he's walking back to the house because he's got to get the deliveries done, because the next day is the Sabbath and he's got to be home for his worship. He just looks up and talks to God and he says, did he have to go lame today? That's walking with God. That's being to the point where you feel a friendship with him and can just stop and talk to him like you would your neighbor. That's what God wants. We are so hung up so many times with this holier than thou prayers that we make. And don't get me wrong, when we're in worship services, that kind of a prayer is different. But it's also because Jesus' prayers were a particular kind when he prayed in public. But when he went off alone by himself, they were a different kind of prayer. And so should ours be. And ours should be, and our walk with God should be such a thing that as we walk with God, we can actually feel like we can talk to him like we would our neighbor. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, Abraham, 90 years old, the Lord appears to Abraham and says, I am the Lord God Almighty. Walk before me and be perfect. Go where I want you to go. Do what I want you to do. Not what you want to do. Not what you think is proper and right. Walk with me. Walk with me. Now just a vision. Go back to the picture in your mind of you walking maybe with a child. And that child starts to walk out into the street. What do? You reach over, you grab them by the hand perhaps, and you bring them back over. You got to walk with me. You got to stay with me. And that's what God's telling Abraham. At 90 years of age, Abraham, walk with me. Walk where I walk, do what I do. To the children of Israel, God tells Moses, You speak to the children of Israel in Leviticus 18, verses 2 through 4, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. Right off the bat, God's going to say, we're going to get something straight. I want you to know who I am. I am the Lord your God. Now, you can take that word your in two ways. One, you can take it in a plural sense because he's talking to the entire group of people. You can also take it in a singular sense. Lord God would be saying to you, if you were living in this period of time, I am the Lord your God, all of you. But in the same sense, he's saying, I am the Lord your God. Yours and yours. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, don't do them. You don't do those things anymore. And it would really be interesting for us to sit down and really look at what were some of the things they did that we in this society do today. It would shake up a lot of people, and a lot of people would say, that's ridiculous. But God said, I'm the Lord your God. I want you're going to do it my way. You shall not do what they did in Egypt, and according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I'm going to take you, you don't do those. You shall not walk in their ordinances or their lifestyles, the way they live. Don't do it. You shall observe my judgments and my ordinances and walk in them, because I am the Lord your God. One of the things I really think that this is just personal. So you can throw this out with the trash or the bathwater or whatever you want to. But I would really like to see this country restart the draft. It would give purpose and meaning. And it would cause a lot of young men to understand what it means to obey someone and to do what is right. I have a dear friend who, as he was growing up, I was a full-grown adult. There were certain things my father taught me to do, and he learned this from his years in the military. When you walk into a public building, school, courthouse, town hall, men, you take your hats off. You sit down for supper, men, you take your hats off. It's respectful and it's right. Now, it's not necessarily done nowadays. And I'm not going to condemn anybody that doesn't. But this young man, Jonathan was his name, I was all the time on him when we'd be at the church building. Take your hat off. You're here in the church building. And he'd just leave it on. Later he joined the Air Force, and he told me and stopped me one time when he came home on leave. I understand now why you told me to take my hat off. He said, thank you. Because that was the ordinances that was instilled in him in the military. This is the way you do things. And the Lord God said there are ways you do things in the way that you live. There are certain things you are supposed to do and certain things you are not supposed to do. God said the way the Egyptians lived, you don't do that. The way those that live in Canaan, you don't do them. You do things my way. And how we need to see that we live for the Lord God his way. And what were they to be taught? What we call the Ten Commandments and the Ten Commandment Law. Of course, that can be found in Deuteronomy 5 and in Exodus 20. But today, how do we walk? We walk by faith and not by sight. And people will say, yeah, right, yeah. You do. You do. Every time you take this thing out, you open it up, Come on, wake up. And you go to that. Google Map, or whatever map you might use. MapQuest or the other versions in there. And you have the faith that somebody drove around in a little car and marked down everything that's in the area where you live or the area that you're going to. And you punch that in on your phone, you do it in your car. We've done it for 100 years or more with maps that you had to get out of your glove box, unfold, and then couldn't figure out how to fold back up when you put them by the glove box. Most youngers don't understand that. That was more faith than sight. You could read the map, but you didn't know that that was going to take you to California or to Arizona or to Minnesota. God said, I've got a plan here for you to follow. Follow this plan by faith. You won't be able to see the finished product. You won't be able to know what it looks like. Just follow it. First Corinthians 4 and 1, as taught by the Apostle Paul according to the will of God, he said, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exalt you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how we ought to walk and please God, so you also abound more and more. Paul said, in the way that you've seen me live when I was there amongst you, follow it. Follow it. How do you know how to follow God? Two ways. You stick your nose in this thing and you learn. How did you know what 2 + 2 was? Some teacher drilled into you that 2 + 2 was 4. 2 + 2 was not 5, even though I asked the teacher when she said 2 + 2 is 4 and 1 + 1 is 2. I said, why? She said, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. God said, follow me. Why? That's just the way it is. You follow him, you do his will. The other thing you do is you find a good brother or sister within the assembly. You see how they live and you follow their example. Hopefully the one that you find and you follow, it has a good example to follow. Paul says, be imitator of me like I was of Jesus Christ. So to you, I would say, be an imitator of someone else that you know is imitating Jesus Christ. That's how we walk today. That's how we walk today. We walk the straight and narrow way. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. See the reading here that Jesus quoted, because there's two ways that people can walk. You know, there's many ways to get from here to St. Louis, Missouri. Some ways are pretty much straight. Other ways may take you to Chicago, to Wisconsin, back down, take you down to Atlanta, swing around Nashville and somehow back up. One way is always better than the other. Let's see what Jesus says about the way we are to walk. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. Narrow gate. Just literally think of it. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. Now stop and think about this. Wide. You walk out that door, you're going through a door, and then you're going out into a very wide, broad area. Did you ever think about that? When you're going through that, you walk out of that, you go through the wide gate, and into a bigger room, if I can say that. A better example yet is going to be coming into this room from that vestibule. You come through that door, and it gets bigger. And you got a lot more places you can go, a lot more places you can sit in here. So stop and think of it in that fashion. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, hopefully there's no destruction coming out of here, but for the example purposes. It's the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who will go in, because narrow is the gate, and straight is the way which leads to life. It's going down a entryway through a hallway. What do you know about a hallway? Normally a hallway doesn't get wider. It stays. And that's the way it is with our lives following the Lord. We are to be in that straight and narrow way. And it's the life that leads to life everlasting, and there are not many of people that will find it. There won't be a lot that find it. So who are you leading? Who are you leading on the straight and narrow? Son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, mother, father, sister, brother, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, neighbor, friend, co-worker. Who are you leading? Who are you leading down the road? Who do you walk with? Who do you walk with? And when your walk is finished, where will you be? And when their walk is finished, where will they be? There's a movie that is out that was made by Dolly Parton several years ago called The Coat of Many Colors. And there's a section in the movie in which the mother is talking about the child that died and how she was looking forward to seeing that child in heaven. Very similar to the same aspect of what David said after his son died. He cannot come to me, but I can go to him. Because David was planning on going to heaven, and he knew his son would be in heaven. What about you? Almost all of us have family members that are lost, including yours truly, who, unless they change their lives, will not go to heaven. I might want to deny it, but that's the way it is. Because they have decided to walk the broad and the wide rather than the straight and the narrow. But you always still can teach. You always still can teach. That young grandson that I have and two of my granddaughters, every Monday morning, I text them some scripture. I've asked, do you read them? Yeah, we read them. Perhaps someday it'll touch their lives. Perhaps someday someone will follow. I know of a incident that happened years ago. Young lady picked up a leaflet the days when we had handouts that we left places. And she happened to pick up a handout and read it. It was from somebody from the Church of Christ. Years later, she happened to attend a college that was part of the Church of Christ. And she became a Christian. all because of that leaflet, that little flyer that somebody had left. That person didn't know they had walked with somebody else. But they had led that person to Christ simply by letting them know about Christ. And you and I have that same responsibility. We have that same responsibility to let others know about Christ, to set an example in what I say, what I do. And here's the hard one. What I listen to, what I watch on television, what I watch on my cell phone or my laptop or my PC. I have a responsibility to see that I walk that way. It might mean I don't get to watch certain movie that I have liked for years, all because of what it promotes or doesn't promote. Because of what I say and what I do may lead someone. It may take somebody out of my hand that I'm trying to lead. But where are you walking? You walking toward heaven or toward hell? Where are you walking? And the person you're walking with, where are you leading them to? Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the way, because narrow is the gate and straight is the way which leads to life. And few there be that find it. In eternity, where will you walk and who will you walk with? Where will you walk and who will you walk with? Now in heaven, it'll be a walk. In heaven or in hell, it won't be much of a walk. In fact, it'll be torment and pain and anguish, and you'll be probably telling anybody that comes near you, get away from me. Because in hell, there'll be no comfort. In hell, the only thing that you'll be able to say is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So who will you walk with in eternity? This morning, as we offer the invitation, we'd like for you to take a look at your souls. Are you going to be going to heaven or are you going to be going to hell? In order to go to heaven, you need to have heard the word of God to believe. And God's word to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confess him as such. Repent of your sins, be baptized and arise to walk a new way of life. Walk, as God said, follow me. Perhaps you have and you've strayed from the truth and you're walking your own way, but you want to get back with the Lord. If that's where you're at, we can pray with you as you repent of what you have done and ask God to forgive you again. If there's anyone that needs to respond, would you come as we stand and sing?
When we reach at home and lay our burdens down, God shall wipe away all tears. When we join the saints and wear a robe and crown, God shall wipe away all tears. God shall wipe away all the tears from every eye. God shall wipe away all tears. When we sweetly sing with all that ransom throng, God shall wipe away all tears. No more partings come to mar that happy song. God shall wipe away.
Prepare mind, take Lord's Supper. We'll sing the next song. It's not in the book. It's a song we just got, a new one. I mean, we've done it before in a red book, but it's up here now.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his debt.
So many things new, I'm trying to keep it in control here. Anyone need a communion? Jim will be glad to get you one. As we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, something we do every week, as the Bible says to do, and Let's try to keep our minds centered on our worship while we're here, so busy in this world. And also now as we take this bread to remember our Lord as he died and suffered for our sins. Nothing but the blood can wash away our sins and obedience to the gospel. Let's go to God in prayer as we give thanks for this bread to remember our Lord and what he's done for us on that cross of Calvary. Almighty Father, we thank you so much for this time we can come and worship you. Now as we remember our Lord, your Son who died and suffered on that cross for our sins, help this bread be nourishment to our soul and help us put all worldly thoughts from our minds and remember the beating and suffering as much as our minds can comprehend what Christ went through for us. Thank you for his body now, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Loving God, thank you again for Christ and his precious blood. For without his blood, we would have no hope of going to heaven. And by his blood, we have our sins forgiven if we obey. Thank you for this fruit of the vine. Thank you for your Son, Father, who suffered a cruel death and went through with all the pain for us, who did no sin. And forgive us of our sins in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks to God as we give back. Almighty God, thank you so much for being here this morning and worshiping you, and all the acts of worship we prayed, everything we've done will be pleasing to you and from your word of truth. Now as we give back to you, as we've been prospered, and help us do so and cheerfully and for the work of your church, we thank you and praise you for all the many blessings, physical and most of all spiritual blessings in Christ. Thank you, God, and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service, and especially welcome any visitors we have with us this morning, and welcome you to come back anytime we come together and we meet. And like our morning services, we meet at 9:45 for our Bible study, and then we go into our worship service and on Sunday morning. And of course, the ladies they come together on the phone at 5:00. And all the ladies have a Bible class over the phone. And of course, I encourage you to come on Wednesday night or midweek service, and that's at 6:30. And I encourage you to come for that. Of course, the ladies have, Holly still calls it the winter morning devotion. Now you can almost say now it's summertime devotion. So, but they do that on every other Saturday, and the next one's coming up will be May the 24th, and that'll be at 8:30 to 9:30, and that's, I encourage the ladies to come on that and on Saturday morning for that. Of course, we'll remember all the ones that's on our prayer list. There's a pretty lengthy list in there in the bulletin of the different ones. It has issues and ailments and surgeries and different things like that. We want to remember them in our prayers. Of course, we have some area events coming up. Like we have our area-wide sing here on June the 27th. And that'll be from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on a Friday night. And of course, we're talking about Friday night sings. The church in Woodsfield will be having their sing on June the 6th. And that'll be at 7:00. Excuse me. Of course, we have some vacation Bible schools coming up, and that'll be Pennsville is having theirs June the 22nd through the 25th. Somerset's having theirs July the 6th through the 9th, and 7th Street will be having theirs on June the 21st. So I encourage you to, if you can attend them, encourage you to go to that. Also, of course, they have a couple thank you cards here. We have a card here. It says, thank you so much for allowing me to host my grad party at at your facilities. Without your grace, I wouldn't be found a better place. And that was Peyton Everett. They used the fellowship hall over here for his graduation party. And they thanked us for to be able to use that. Of course, we have another card here, and this is from the family of Nancy Chapelier. And it says, members of the New Lex congregation, we want to express our gratitude for your thoughts, prayers, and wonderful card. Your love and support meant so much to us. We are truly blessed to have much wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God bless your congregation. Of course, today we're honoring all the graduates. And there's bags in the back with Bibles in it. It has their names imprinted on there. Is there any of the graduates that we have in the bulletin? I don't believe there is, but is there anybody here of them graduates? Yeah, I have Peyton Lanning, and he graduated. They'll graduate on May the 23rd. That's coming up. Madison Hunter, she graduated yesterday on May the 17th. Abby Denny, she also graduated yesterday. And Amber Brockway will be graduating today on May the 18th. And then, of course, Emily Huffman, she'll be graduating here on May the 24th. And then Skylar Ward will be graduating on May the 23rd. And that's the sixth name that we have that we know of. And, of course, we have Bibles for all of them in the back, in a bag, and where the, you know, the families can pick up for them in the back and take them to them. Of course, we want to thank Daryl for coming here today and give us a lesson this morning. And sorry that Karen's not feeling that well. I know I would joke and make a little joke and say, did you cook for her? But no, better not.
I did.
That's good. I believe that's about everything I have. Is there any other maybe corrections?
I've got something. Come up.
Yeah, I'll move out of the way. And then once Daryl's done, I'll turn it over to Brother Ty.
I wanted to let the congregation know I've made this aware to the elders before services. I've had some prostate surgery. They're still running tests and things. That began back in the middle of March. But they're still running tests on me to determine what and how far it is, if it's anywhere throughout the body. But that being said, with that issue, and I've decided to cut back on the preaching. I'm going to drop the first Sunday here. I still will come to you on the third Sunday. I've also dropped my fourth Sunday where I preached over at Sells Road in Lancaster. So I won't be going there either. So I'm cutting it back to two Sundays a month here and Zane Trace. Glad to have done what I could. And the only thing that I would ask would be for me and for my wife, the prayers for our health. As many of you have issues as well. Ours are not special over anybody else's, but I wanted to personally let the congregation know what was going on and why.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so happy to be able to come together here on this Sunday morning, the first day of the week, worship you, sing songs unto you. God, we ask you to be able to be with those that are unable to be with us here today, those that are mentioned in our prayer list, those that are dealing with health illnesses, those that have upcoming test procedures. God, we ask you to be with Brother Daryl and his healthcare team, that they're able to navigate a difficult time for Daryl, and that they're able to find the best way and path forward moving for him. God, we Thank Daryl, Brother Daryl, for the time that he put in today, for the lesson set before us, that we're able to take from this and continue to grow from grow as Christians, and that we're able to reach others and help your kingdom grow. God, we ask you to be with us as we go our separate ways. Please be with us, strengthen us in times of temptation, and when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.